Following the Fashions, Ellen G. White. No mother can afford to be in bondage to fashion. She is to train her children both for this life and for the life to come. In dress, mothers should not seek to make a display by needless ornamentation. The extra fringes, ribbons, laces, and ornaments are not necessary. And in the purchase of these things, the money God has entrusted to us is turned away from its proper channel. It should flow into the treasury to supply the wants of God's cause. We should see that our children have advantages for gaining an education, that they have a pleasant home, furnished simply, and providing convenient, tasteful arrangements. These are legitimate channels in which our means may flow. And in denying self, the gratification of pride, we lose nothing. For we are comfortable in a pleasant home, and are provided with neat, plain garments. Mothers, by not following the practices of the world, you may set before your children an example of faithfulness to God, and so teach them to say no. Teach your children the meaning of the precept, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." But if you would have your children able to say no to temptation, you yourself must be able to say no. It is as needful for the man to say no as for the child. With the sacred responsibilities of motherhood, how can a woman give herself to the frivolous fashions of the world and so teach her children to conform to the world's standard? Demoralizing extravagance prevails everywhere, and souls are going to ruin because of their love of dress and display. The life of 9/10 of those who are devotees of fashion is a living lie. Deception, fraud, is in their daily practices, for they wish to appear that which they are not. Nobility of soul, gentleness, generosity, are bartered away to gratify the lust after evil things. Thousands sell their virtue that they may have means for following the fashions of the world. Such madness concerning the changing fashions of the world should call forth an army of reformers who would take their position for simple and plain attire. Satan is ever inventing fashions that cannot be followed except through the sacrifice of money, time, and health. Having before us the picture of the world demoralization upon the point of fashion, how dare professed Christians follow in the path of the worldling? Shall we appear to sanction these demoralizing fashions by adopting them? Many do adopt the fashion of the world, but it is because Christ is not formed within them, the hope of glory. Luxurious living, extravagant dressing, carried to such an extent as to constitute one of the signs of the last days. Pride and vanity are manifested everywhere, but those who are inclined to look into the mirror to admire themselves will have little inclination to look into the law of God, the great moral mirror. This idolatry of dress destroys all that is humble, meek, and lovely in character. It consumes the precious hours that should be devoted to meditation, to searching the heart, to the prayerful study of God's Word. In the Word of God, inspiration has recorded lessons especially for our instruction. Paul writes, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." No Christian can conform to the demoralizing fashions of the world without imperiling his soul's salvation. Mrs. E. G. White,